Every section said that they are glad you are here. For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, we are so thankful that you are here today to celebrate with us and as we continue our Joy of Christmas series. And if you haven't caught the memo just yet, we are actually having Christmas PJ Sunday in the house of the Lord. And for some of those that may not like that, once again, I'll remind you, because we are in reverent awe of the Lord, I will remind you, I want to know what our resurrected body looks like. Because it might be Christmas PJs. I'm just saying. More on that here in a minute. I'm just saying, before you go clowning me and get mad at me, I'm just saying. I mean, at least we're not like angels. They scare everybody. Sometimes maybe I am an angel because it seems like I have to say do not be afraid. But wherever you are today, we are thankful that we can continue our Joy of Christmas series as we are just reminded what the true joy of Christmas is. And that is Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and what the season is all about. And so in light of that, really quickly, I want you to let two people know God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. We got to know that. God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. God loves you. God wants a relationship with you. If you're listening to this right now, wherever you are, there is no coincidence that you are. God loves you and God wants a relationship with you. So as we celebrate Christmas PJ Sunday, I have some really quick questions for us. How many of us have our Christmas tree up? It's about everyone, right? How many of us have had it up since the week before Thanksgiving or earlier? Lots of folks, right? Well, let me share something with you that comes to this. Many of us have Christmas Eve traditions, right? Like, for me, Christmas Eve tradition, just really quick, we would go to my great-grandparents' house, all cram into this little room in this house. I don't know how in the world we did it without losing our minds. No electronics, right? None of those things. And we would gather together, small, I think it's like a 15 by 12 room, over 40 people in there, two couches. I just remember my great-grandpa is Papa Hawkins. I can still see his building. It's over there in Roebuck. If you're ever at Dorman Meadows, you can see there's a small, you'll see a white building when you drive by it on 221. That was my papa's house. It used to be a stucco house there. It's where my grandmother grew up. But long story short, we would do that. Then we would go home, probably have a quick snack and go to our candlelight Christmas Eve service at church. And then we'd come home and get to open one gift on Christmas Eve. What do you think that one gift usually was? PJs or socks and undies, right? We'd get socks and undies at my Papa Hawkins and then probably get PJs, right? You got to do that. So as we got to do that, all of us have like a Christmas Eve tradition. What if I told you, I've shared this before, but I want to share it really quickly again, that traditionally speaking, you actually aren't supposed to have your Christmas tree up and decorated until Christmas Eve. Silence. How many of us would like that? Many of us wouldn't, right? Like, I think it's nice because we get to look in anticipation earlier, but parents, just really quickly, what used to happen is you would bring the tree in the week of Christmas, and tradition holds you would go and decorate it while the kids were asleep. Should sound familiar. Before Santa comes. And what would happen is you would decorate the tree, and then Santa would put some presents under the tree, and parents would put presents in the tree and would have candles on it. Now, this goes all the way back. You can hear this. It goes to the tradition. It was in Germany. You can see it still today in Netherlands and Poland. But what many of us think of is what we saw in our opening video. We think of a Biltmore Christmas, a Victorian Christmas, my sister's house. So, like, really, because that's how she has those things, right? Like, she's so great at that. I'm nowhere near that. I love how she can do that. I can't imagine taking it all down when she gets it up. It just blows my mind how they do that every year. But what would happen is they would put candles on the tree. And the kids couldn't look and come out until the candles were lit. And once they saw the light, then they could go see the presents. Then they could go see what Santa brought and what Mama and Dad had done with the tree. And there's a little bit of anticipation and excitement to that because to me it makes me think, yes, I love having a Christmas tree up earlier, but just think about how, like, parents today, could you tell your children they couldn't go down until the lights are on? No, they've already went down four or five times. They hadn't even told you. Just wait till they're old enough to understand how to unwrap and wrap presents. You're in heaven now, Mom. Can't do anything to me. So they understand how to unwrap it and then wrap it back. You know, I'm just saying, you got to know what you got to know. So that being said, just wait till that happens. But there's something about that that's exciting. And so it get us in the right frame of mind. That's where I want us to be because today we're going to dive into a familiar verse and some familiar scripture. It's not going to shock you what we're going to be walking through. But we are going to be in Isaiah chapter 9 for just one verse, Isaiah 9, verse 2. And then we're going to be in the Gospel of John. You're going to know where I'm going. We're going to be in a couple of chapters there. And we're going to talk about this great light that you and I have, but also this be reminded of the great light that is Christ this Christmas. So if you've got your Bible, go ahead and get to Isaiah 9. and verse 2. If you don't have a Bible, as always, they're available for you in the garden. You can follow along with us for free on the Vine Church app. Again, it's thevine.tv/app. And I'm so thankful for Zach always making sure wherever you're watching around the world, our Vine production team will make sure that our scripture is on the screen for you. So if you're in Isaiah 9, you're looking in a screen, you're in the app, wherever you are, if you're in Isaiah 9, give me an amen. Amen in the house of the Lord. And it says this: the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And church, isn't this Christmas? This is what Christmas is all about. Isaiah writes this prophecy 700 years before Jesus is born. 700 years. Now, a pastor always, it always stuck with me. A pastor would say this, and it just stuck. As we're going, before we get to the Gospel of John, just know that one page between the last of Malachi and the first of Matthew, so the last book of the Old Testament and the first book of the New Testament, is 400 years of God's silence. 400 years of people walking around in darkness searching for the light. 400 years of that. But since Isaiah writes this, it's 700 years. Can you imagine waiting that long? Like, for you and I, we want the movie to be over within an hour. We want the movie to be done. Like, it would be great if this light that has dawned showed up in verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. Like, it was it. The Messiah was here, and it was ready to go. Maybe some of us are in the waiting room right now when it comes to the Lord. We feel like we're in darkness. We feel like we're in just this space and place. God, when are you going to work out the right time, the right place, the right person, the right finances, the right everything? And maybe you just feel like you're in this darkness today. And my hope and prayer for you today is to be reminded of the light that is Christmas. Because the setting of Christmas is darkness. As a matter of fact, just to be quite honest with you, Jesus comes, and this is the light we're going to talk about. And we celebrate his arrival this time of year. It's called Advent for that. But to be honest, Christian, you and I celebrate the advent of his return. And he promises that it will continue to get darker until the light returns again. And so if it gets darker, church, what should be exciting for us is when it's the darkest, the light penetrates the easiest, doesn't it? And that's what we get to be. And so today, I just pray, if you're maybe in that waiting room, that you not forget, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can still be the light in the most unexpected way. It goes on to say this as we talk about the Christmas story and God working it out in his perfect will and timing. There's no better story in the Bible to me of Jesus, of God lining everything up for the baby Jesus to have 700 years of waiting. But here we go. We're going to see the Gospel of John. And if you know anything about me, selfishly, this is outside of my man Linus dropping his blanket in Luke. This is probably my favorite telling of what Christmas is all about. And it says this in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Now we're going to pause there. They're going to leave this on the screen for me for verse 4 and 5 because we've got to talk about that. Verse 1 through 3. I don't want us to miss this. This is the when, where, and who of the Word. We know that this is Jesus. Those people that come knocking on your door on Saturday morning, you show them that, and you can tell them that it doesn't say the Word was a God, but it says the Word was God. Make sure you read that with them. Might blow their mind. The Word was God. So he was with God in the beginning. We've walked through this before, but we have to be reminded in Genesis. Remember, it said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and formless, and something covered the land or the deep darkness. And the Spirit of God brooded or hovered over the waters. And God said, let there be what, church? Light. And what did he say about the light? The light was what? Good. And he separated the light and darkness, and he called the light day and the darkness night. And so there was morning and evening on the first day. That's Genesis 1. We see that here again in John 1. This is what Christmas is, this light that is coming. So when it says in the beginning, to a Jewish mind, this beginning would hearken back to Genesis. And so what John is saying here is a new Genesis is happening, a reconstitution of Israel. A new Israel is forming. It is God's kingdom fully being ushered in through this light that is the Word, that is Jesus. And that should excite us, because the reason you and I are still here is he's not only ushered his kingdom in, but he's still building it. And the beautiful thing is, you and I can't screw it up. I don't know about that. I'm living proof. You cannot screw that up. You can't screw up building God's kingdom. You can either walk in faith in it or reject it. And so when we talk about Christmas in this light, that's why we get to get excited to this. This word, in the beginning was the word, really quickly, this word, logos, which means thought expressed in Greek. The reason that this is written by John in that is to the Greek, when it says in the beginning was the word, to the Greeks, they thought that they could make everything logically make sense or else it wasn't worth believing. John points out that instead of you searching for truth and logically lining thing up, that truth is a person. It is the Word that was with God and that was God and was with Him in the beginning. And that is Jesus. Maybe that's where you are today. Maybe I'm reading this today and you say, man, you believe a fairy tale. This is crazy. I'd much rather watch a Christmas special. This is a feel good for a moment and then I'll take my tree down and have my New Year's resolution because logically it doesn't make sense to me. And really quickly, I just want to ask you about your moral compass. Right? What's your moral compass? What's right and wrong? Let me ask you something. Is rape right? That's wrong. Well, how do you know that? What's good? Let me ask you this. How about this? A pastor is going home on December 11th, 1986, to his wife and his three children. Five. No, not going to put that on you. Three kids. Less than a mile from his house, a drunk driver kills him. Is that right? Is that wrong? Yet I'm the good that came from that by God's grace. As a small two-year-old kid. So let me ask you this. If that hurts you, why? Because if you have no moral compass, because that logically doesn't make sense. Why would a pastor be killed a mile from his house? Why would that make sense? Well, how can you make sense of that? You can't. But I can tell you who can, and that is Jesus Christ. I can tell you through that, my father prayed on bended knee every day that his family would come to know Jesus. And those that don't, now do. Would you say that God used it? Absolutely. So today, maybe that logically doesn't make sense. I would ask you to consider the truth that is Jesus. Stop searching for this special knowledge. Look to the Word. It says this in verse 4 and 5. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Does darkness win? See, in the beginning, there was chaos on the earth and there was darkness, but God did something, right? He saw something was good and it was light. And in the end, darkness will not win. As a matter of fact, you read in Revelation 22:5 that we will not have darkness in heaven because Christ will be our light. We will have Him forever being our light, shining bright. This life that is talked about, the word is zoe, or zoe as some say, in the Greek. And this life is not talking about you and I on this earth. It is talking about our eternal life. So even to the logical Greek thinking, they understood there was something outside of this life. And now as John writes this, and it's true for you and I, the only way that you can experience this life is through the light of all mankind. That is Jesus, the light that has dawned that Isaiah has prophesied about. See, this is the why of the word. Did the who, what, and when. Now, this is the why of the word. This is Jesus. This is Christmas. Christ shining in the darkness. What is the darkness that He is shining in? Well, the darkness that you and I live in our sin is separation, right? Brokenness. It seems like the wrong keep winning and the right keep losing. It seems like the ones that have it all figured out are the ones that keep hoodooing people and frauding people. Like, how does that work? There is no true justice, and I don't understand how is justice now all of a sudden weaponized as we hear in the world today? Because there's only one true king that can administer true justice, and that is Jesus. And so that's what we look forward to. See, Jesus comes because we are in the brokenness. Israel had come to a point in time when Jesus was born where everyone thought they had to keep over 600 Pharisaical laws. 600. I can't keep the one not speeding here half the time. I'm just saying that I don't know if there's a statute of limitations on that. That was the person beside me. It wasn't me. I'm just saying. It was a car like mine that may or may not have the Vine TV magnet on it. I'm saying. I don't know. But that being said, it's probably just as dirty as mine. That being said, could you imagine having to try to keep 600 laws just to maybe catch God on a good day? That's why John doesn't stop. We're not going to have it on the screen there, but verse 14 talks about what Christmas is. And the Word became flesh, and He made His dwelling among us. We have seen the full glory of the one and only Son, sent from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is Christmas. The Word we had been longing for. The silence is over. The 400 years of silence. Now we see this Word that was there at the beginning, and it is a great light. And why does all of that matter? Well, John 3:16 through 20 reminds us today why that matters for each and every one of us. And it says this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. See, this tells us why we love darkness. See, all of us got some Christmas PJs on, don't we? Could you imagine your kid not coming downstairs for fear of the presents that Santa Claus brings, or that mom and dad and family have put out? Could you imagine that ever happening? Let me ask you a real question. Would that happen? Answer is no. You know better. They already know. Just like the threat of you taking it back, you ain't returning it to the store. They know that. See, I'm going to take it back to Santa. No, you aren't. It is what it is. They'll break it before you do. It's a good threat, but it doesn't work that long. See, the world, instead of going down to that Christmas tree and seeing the best gift that is ever given in Christ Jesus, this miracle that everyone is searching for, instead likes being in darkness. It says because their deeds, well, really because of their shame. Could you imagine your kids not coming downstairs or in wherever, if you have a single story house? I keep saying downstairs because I don't have a downstairs in my house either, so I have to make sure for a single story house. Could you imagine them coming to where the Christmas tree is, or not coming because they're afraid of what they've done? They're stuck in shame. I was a bad boy all year, or a bad girl all year. Wouldn't happen, would it? I know I'm asking, it wouldn't. We can't imagine that. Yet this is what the world continues to do. See, it tells you, the world itself will tell you, if you keep plunging deeper into darkness, eventually you'll come to the light, right? If you keep diving deeper into debt to get that expensive piece of paper that you hang on the wall, if you keep diving into relationship after relationship after relationship after relationship, finally, maybe you'll find the light and have the right one. If you keep going after financial scheme and the easy way to get money, the easy way to not to live life, maybe not budget, to be financially insecure, then maybe, just maybe, you'll win the lotto. That is what the world will deceive you to make you believe. And that's what the world is stuck in. It has no light. The thing and the truth is, do we like being in the dark? What's one of your first fears as a kid, usually? The dark. You got to have a nightlight, right? I got to have a nightlight and probably a stuffy, right? Or a security blanket. Or a lovey. I don't know what you call it. A plushie, a lovey, a stuffy. Stuffy is like a dog toy or something. I don't know. Whatever it is. My buddy is what I guess we grew up with. Like my wrestling pals, right? My buddy and me. Y'all know, don't lie, y'all heard it. Because you also had kid sister. Kid sister, wherever I go, she goes, right? You had those, come on, it is what it is. Lord, your church would love to have fun today, so I hope they're diving into your word. So that being said, here's the thing. At this Christmas season, the world will make it look like everything's good on the outside. Yet there's nothing but darkness on the inside, because they are missing the hope and light of Christ One of my favorite things that C.S. Lewis says in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is he's talking about Narnia. They are living life, and it's always winter, but it's never Christmas, right? And I don't know about you, that's a hopeless place to be, isn't it? It's hopeless. And we've been in the light so long, sometimes we forget that. See, the thing is, we need light to live, don't we? We need life. Literally, our bodies need light to live. Now, I'm fair-skinned. I'm sunburnt with just these lights coming on me. But I need light to live. I need vitamin D. We need light to grow plants. We need light for those things. Imagine completely being absent from it. And that's what the world is stuck in. Right now, they're stuck on the lights on the tree and hoping that that little glimmer will give them what they need. And that's why the New Year's resolution is less than a week later, because that didn't satisfy. You and I get the opportunity to help them understand the satisfaction that is Christ. So right now, I just want to say, if that's you, and maybe you're stuck in your shame and you're afraid of what the light will expose. Cliche used all the time, right? Light is the best disinfectant. But the truth of the matter is, we didn't have all those sprays 200 years ago. You didn't have all those Lysol wipes you see me use 10,000 times a day. You don't have all of those things. It was sunlight that cleaned everything. Sunlight. And if that's you, maybe you're afraid of what's going to happen. And I just want to say, we just read verse 17. God didn't send Jesus into the world to stand there and be like, shame on you. I can't believe you did that. Instead, he's saying, come home. I'm so glad to welcome you into my kingdom. See, church, that's what we get to do. The world is stuck in that. They have the hope. They have no hope. The hope that you and I have in Christ, we know doesn't have shame, but they're wearing their Christmas PJs, and they're hoping they're going to wake up on Christmas morning and hoping that that light will satisfy, and it never does. You and I know the satisfaction of that light, which is why we have our heart for the house offering each and every year, is because it lets us be the light to them. It lets us show the world the light of Christ. I want you to think about it this way. The truth of the matter is, think about where you were before Christ. I don't know how long ago that was, but I want you to think about this as we talk about our heart for the house. Were you mad at everybody because the dark was dark? No, you were mad because you were looking for the light. You were hoping. You kept flipping switch after switch after switch, and it never worked. But those of us who found Jesus understood that switch that was flipped in Genesis 1, that is Christ, is what Christmas is all about, is the hope you and I have. And so that's why we give our heart for the house offering. We shine his light into a weary world that is searching for him as we once have. That's why we celebrate $334,000 sown into global missions. We're excited for that. We celebrate that every week. Because see, church, we can say we're against abortion, but the real question is, what are we doing for mothers and children who are left to fend for themselves? Would we welcome a pregnant teenage mother in? Or would we tell her to go have her baby in a cave, in a hay stable, at a place where the animals were feeding? I want you to think about this. I thought about this week as I was getting ready for this. Now, we know that Jesus was born in a manger, right? Do you think there wasn't hay in there? That Chick-fil-A cow was still eating. That poor baby couldn't even get to sleep in that hay to gap soft because that cow and that camel, everybody was eating. But we celebrate this. We celebrate this. I know I'm being funny with that, but we get to give. So every year as part of our Heart for the House offering, which you can find out all of our Heart for the House offerings, you saw it a second ago at thevine.tv/Christmas. So if you miss these ministries, you'll see that on there. The ministries we faithfully get to support every year is the Carolina Pregnancy Center. Each and every year we do this. We do it also at Mother's Day. And it is a space and a place for pregnant mothers who are considering abortion. And they don't know what to do. They're scared. And they just need somebody to talk to. Now, most of the time, they don't have an abortion. Rarely they do. But the fact that Carolina Pregnancy Center is there to walk with them through it and share the hope of Jesus, man, that's something that's so incredible. So we do that. But you see, we don't stop there. We help the Hope Center for Children that's right down the road here and places everywhere. And they help foster children who are just in a bad space and place. They're left to fend for themselves. Maybe their parents are stuck in a cycle of addiction. Maybe they're just in a bad, abusive home, and they get to go there. But specifically, Hope Center for Children help children, foster kids, who are pretty much aged out of the system. And what do I mean by that? Usually 16-year-olds have nowhere to go. And so they have a space for them. They help them get out in the world. So we're honored to get to help them. But it doesn't stop there. We also, we give to Operation Christmas Child, as we say every year, through Samaritan's Purse. But also in our own YMCA, we give to the Capital Campaign, an annual campaign. I say Capital every time, but it's the annual campaign that supports scholarships for students here that have after-school programs, can be a part of sports. That's huge. So once again, we can be all about it, but instead, church, I love that we decide to live it. We also can say we are against it and we are for the prisoner, but the real question is, what are we doing about it? So we support Jumpstart. Jumpstart's a ministry that meets prisoners right where they are in prison and helps them, those that do get to transition out, because some of them don't. Those that stay in prison, they actually lead the program once they go through it. And they teach them about the life of Christ. They go through the Blessed Life book, Rick Warren's book, and they find out about the hope of the gospel. And those that transition out back into the real world, they help them make sure they don't go back in. We call that recidivism. As a matter of fact, Jumpstart participants, I think it's 90-something percent, 96 or some odd percent of recidivism not happening. In other words, prisoners not going back to prison. Church, that's a representation of you and I in prison and our sin, no longer going back to our old life, but walking in the newness of life of Christ. So we support Jumpstart Ministry. We can say all day long that we are against poverty, but the real question is, what are we doing for those who seem to be in an endless cycle of being on the street? And so that's why we support Invisible Ministries, who literally are on the street each and every week. I mean, like meeting people right where they are. If you invite them, they meet at North Walker Street, right at the Family Dollar downtown on Tuesdays, 6 p.m. They have a meal, but most importantly, they get the bread of life that is Christ. There's always a message, and they're always willing to help people. So we love being able to support them. That's a huge thing. So if you see someone this week, and they're out, and they got a sign saying they need help, let them know about that. Maybe the Lord calls you to give them a dollar. Maybe not judge him if the Lord calls you to do that. Trust him with it, all right? But most importantly, invite them to that. That may be the turning point for their life. That might be the little glimmer of hope they need to see somebody who's been there and can get through it. So we are thankful for each and every one of those ministries we support. And this year, as we've said, we're doing something a little different. If the Lord's laid one on your heart, you would like for the Vine to support this year, make sure you put that on your envelope and in the memo line. And my request, I'm being selfish here, but if you could give me an address so that way I know where to mail it to, we'll get them a card and we'll make sure they get a card. We'll write that here in the next week or so that way they can get this gift before Christmas. So, once again, the reason we love to do this is we want to let them know that them waiting in the Christmas PJs of this world is over, that they can now be in the Christmas PJs of Christ, looking forward to his return, not stuck hopelessly looking for his light. So here's a question I will think here right at the end as we start thinking through this. How many of us remember those coffee commercials growing up?
The best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
Right, like you had those. I want you to think back. When I grew up, it was always, whenever you had that at this time of the year, it was always a... And it was a kid that came home from college, a military person that came home, a long-lost prodigal maybe coming home. It was always that. Now, if you don't believe that, you can go look it up on YouTube. Those grocery store commercials that make you cry every time, pretty much. They're local ones, Publix. They do that now. They rip that off, and they do great at it. Like, every time now, like, the kid's sitting at the adult table, and I'm like, yeah, man, you can do it. You got it. You stepped up. You know, he's got his little, he's buttoned up. And then dad says he's bored out of his mind. Everybody's talking about, and he's looking at the kid's table, and dad does the right thing and says, hey, can you look after the little ones? And he goes to his space. It'll make you tear up every time because you remember that. You wanted to get to the adult table, and you're like, this is boring. What did I do wrong? Like, you wanted to go back. I stay at the kids' table. I'm good with that. So that being said, think about that. This is what I want us to think of. This time of year, a parent's heart is always geared toward their child. Even the worst deadbeat parent has their heart on their child. And I know, because every Christmas Eve, they bought a big teddy bear, four or five Slim Jims, and whatever else. Every deadbeat did, but you know what? I still prayed for them when they walked through my door. Because I don't know their situation, but they were trying. Isn't Christmas about the heart of God to his children, trying to get them home, giving him the best gift that it could ever be given? See, that's what this is all about. Saying, hey, these Christmas PJs you have, stop searching for the light because I'm going to give it to you and my son, Jesus Christ. Will you trust him as your Lord and Savior? And here's the cool thing. You're going to get some new Christmas PJs, and you're going to get to have Christmas every day the rest of your life. And not what you think, Richie Rich Christmas. You get something even better. You get the miracle of today because you're going to get to live in the light for all of eternity. No SPF 1000, no SPF 100. You get to live in the light and not be afraid. You get to look forward to Christ coming and his return. But here's the cool thing. You get to share it with everybody. Read history, we would say man's best invention was what? Fire. Because he rubbed two rocks together, right? But see, Moses didn't rub two rocks together. God just showed up in fire, right? Elijah didn't rub two rocks together on that chariot. It was just fire. See, we've always searched for light. So today, my question is, are you searching for light? See, God's heart is that he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. Those of us in Christ look forward to his return and the living in the light forever. Those who are in the world, you're still searching for light. Would you consider Christ? Jesus says it this way in John 8:12. When Jesus again spoke to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And Christ, your search is over. He is the truth you seek. He is the life you seek. He is the way that helps you walk in the light. And so the question is, what PJs are you wearing today? Maybe today, right now, you're hearing this and you're thinking about all the darkness that you have been stuck in and searching for the light, and you just keep finding yourself in a cycle of darkness. You go from one addiction to the next. You think that your addiction should be work and your addiction should be career. Maybe your addiction is porn, or maybe your addiction is alcohol, or maybe it is drugs, or maybe it is taking one step up the corporate ladder, whatever that is, and it keeps bringing you to the darkest place. I will tell you, the world will always do that, because the darkest place you and I will ever be in is death. But Jesus is the light of life, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. Would you turn away from the darkness today and trust him as your Lord and Savior? So with every head bow and every eye closed, the reason we do what we do each and every week here at the Vine is so that those of us who are in Christ prayerfully can be reminded of the joy that we have in him, can be reminded of who he is today and how he has called us and allows us to share him with the world. For others, it's to discover his light for the first time. So we're going to pray out loud. It's not going to be a prayer that you pray alone. We pray as a Vine fam here. And it's not the words of this prayer that saves you. It's the faith that Jesus is who he says he is. So with every head bow and every eye closed, please repeat the words of this prayer in faith after me for the benefit of those coming to faith. Dear Jesus, I believe I'm a sinner separated from you. I believe you came, lived the perfect sinless life I couldn't live, died the death I deserve, paying the penalty for my sins on the cross, but loved me enough not to stay dead, but rose again on the third day that I may have life. Take over my life, Lord. Teach me to follow you step by step the rest of my life the best way I know how. And with every head bow and every eye closed, if you're in the house, if you're online right now, if you're listening throughout the week around the world, we're going to ask you to do something really bold on the count of three. This is going to be something that is absolutely, we want to celebrate this with you. This is the best decision you've made. You have received the ultimate present that is salvation that comes through Christ alone. On the count of three, if for the first time you have given your life and received this free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ, we're going to ask you to raise your hand. One, two, three. If you're in the house, if you're online, you can give a raised hand emoji. You can reach out to us, shoot us a message. You can do it in the app and social media, all kinds of crazy places. But we want to celebrate this decision with you because here's the thing. It took someone showing us the light of Christ and us having faith in him to be able to receive it. But we want to share it and we want to be excited with you to help you continue sharing that light. And the best way that you can do that is in a local church near you. Maybe you're not near us. You're always welcome in this house. We always have a seat for you in this space. So you come hang out with us anytime. But maybe, let's say maybe you're in New York or maybe you're in California or you're in Florida or in Arizona this week. We would love to get you in church, in touch with a local church near you. And for the rest of us, I'm gonna pray really quick. If you want to go ahead and stand up, and we're going to continue this time of worship. I just pray right now we would never neglect the miracle that is today, the miracle that Jesus has given us, this new day that he has given us, this light that has dawned. I pray that we would go and share it with the world and everyone he places in our path. So Jesus, thank you again for what we get to celebrate today, not only in your house, but in us by you doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. Jesus, remind us what it was like to be in darkness, hopeless, helpless, broken, dead in our sin, thinking that the light would be bad for us. We decided that we thought we knew better in our darkness, but Jesus, you came and you shined your light in us and you shined your light on us and you showed your light to us, showing us the way that is life by doing for us what we can't do for ourselves. So Jesus, today I pray that we would just celebrate that miracle. We would give you the worship that you are deserved, the worship and praise that you not only deserve, but the one that would be so loud that those that don't know you would come try to figure out what in the world we are excited about. Jesus, restore the joy of our salvation today. Maybe today we're in that dark season. We feel like we're in that waiting room. Jesus, maybe we're having health or finance or relationship issues. Maybe we're just in a dark season, Jesus. And if we know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that we would be reminded of your light. And I pray right now your light would shine so bright in us that it would just make us do nothing but smile and maybe even give a shout and a praise to your name. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And it is for your glory. Amen.
Dawn of salvation.
should have seen us playing violin earlier with that, man. I had it upside down playing. It was crazy. They had to help me out there. I was like the cat on the bass. You know, anyway, we get excited with that. You'll get it later, and I hope it gives you a chuckle. Just know that there is always humor in the Lord. And I just pray today as we go out into these dark streets that we would be his light shining, right? That we would always celebrate him and let the world know the hope that we have in Christ. So I'm thankful that you have joined us today. I hope we had a little bit of fun in church, but I hope more importantly that we get to be just a little bit of heaven on earth as we go out into these streets the rest of the week. We can't wait to see your smiling face next week. Once again, make sure you go to thevine.tv/Christmas not too long from now. We got those Christmas services. We got some fun things planned. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the Grinch shows up. I'm just kidding, but wouldn't that be great? Pray about it. Maybe that's you. Let me know. Have a great week, and always remember the best is still yet to come.